And now it's back to Miranda Devine on 2GB 873.
Education has always been the key for people to improve their situation in life, and the best Aboriginal leaders like Noel Pearson are making education their priority. And our next guest, Andrew Penfold, gave up a lucrative banking career to start a foundation, the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, which aims to put 2,000 Indigenous kids through top schools and universities within 20 years. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
Thanks, Miranda. Great to be here.
Now, you've just come back from the Indigenous Festival Garma up in the Northern Territory, haven't you? How was that?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. It's the sort of thing I think every Australian should do. It's a great opportunity with, you know, Indigenous leaders and lots of non-profits and corporates and politicians, and really to witness firsthand the extraordinarily rich and diverse and beautiful culture of the Yolngu people from northeast Arnhem Land. So an annual festival that goes for about 4 days, and it's really, I think, every Australian should experience this.
Yeah, I think we got a taste of it on the ABC's Q&A program on Monday, which had a marvellous panel, including Noel Pearson, all Indigenous panel. And I think, as we've all been saying, that that was probably the most civil and informative and really inspiring Q&A panel that I've seen.
Yeah, well, I think they really set the bar for how to have a civil conversation about contentious issues that I know a lot of the people on the panel and in the audience have very divergent views on, but they managed to have a really civilised and respectful conversation. I think it's probably set the benchmark for future panels, hopefully.
And one of the questions I thought was one of the best ones was from a young Indigenous man, boy, who's at a boarding school, and he asked the panel and Noel Pearson why it was that he had to go all the way to Melbourne to get an education.
I'm 16 years old and left Darwin for boarding school in Melbourne at the start of this year. I left Darwin because my mum and dad wanted me to have a good future and with access to opportunity. Why do I have to go all the way to Melbourne, away from my family, to get a good education and to fulfil what I want to do when I'm older?
Joe, can I start with...
He was actually one of our scholarship students who was up there with his school independently from me. School took a group up there, but it's a really good question that really hits the nail on the head. And I think Noel's answer, you know, Noel said some great things about our organisation, the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, and we provide the scholarships for kids to go to boarding school and university and so on. But he really hit the nail on the head, and Noel's answer was very much the same sort of message that I've been sort of on for several years, and really why I got involved in this. And that is not to say that any Indigenous kid should have to go to boarding school. They shouldn't. They shouldn't have to move away from home. They shouldn't have to go to boarding school. And not every Indigenous family or child wants to go to boarding school. But the simple fact is that the education system that most of the kids have access to in their home communities has been failing them, and has been failing them for decades. And, you know, some of these schools are described by leading Indigenous education professionals as third world schools, and they are. You've got kids who can barely read and write, and very poor attendance rates and very high turnover of teachers, and lots of kids from, you know, all different ages in the same class together with, you know, it's just a very difficult situation for getting good educational outcomes. And so we really support the idea of, you know, vast improvement in investment in community schools and local schools to improve them. But in the meantime, we know that that's a 20-year exercise, and, you know, you're going to need an extremely bold and courageous government to really kind of shake things up in that system. In the meantime, you know, education is absolutely the national priority, and we hear this from Indigenous leaders all around the country, you know, over and over and over ad nauseum. Education is the national priority. So we think that, you know, Indigenous kids who are marginalised and excluded from quality education don't deserve that. We think they deserve world-class education, the same sort of education as I want for my children.
And so this is really sending these kids to schools like my son's school, Riverview, St Joseph's, lots of schools, the private schools around the country, and giving them that first-class education and, you know, then supporting them beyond too, isn't it?
That's right. So we currently work with about 35 schools around Australia. And we provide scholarships for this year, about 500 students annually at all of those schools, and then about another 50 at university. So the university numbers are really starting to come through now. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is really simple. It's just because it works. You know, these are schools that have been really at the forefront of Indigenous education for 10 or 20 years in some cases, and they get great results. You know, they've got strong pastoral care. The kids get 3 healthy meals a day. They get supervised study at night, a safe place to sleep, early to bed, early up in the morning, healthy breakfast, lots of sport, tutoring and library and resources and all of those great things that kids should be, you know, expecting to have as a normal part of their education. So with the scholarship program we run, we've got the highest rate of Year 12 completion and school retention in the country, which is just in our latest results, just over 93%. So it's a very successful program when you look at the fact that most Indigenous kids in Australia are only 50%, finish Year 12.
That's spectacular.
It's really the evidence of the result.
And the other thing I think people don't realise, unless they've experienced it themselves, is just what a fantastic impact it has on the other kids at the school, to have those friendships and to, you know, to understand and Indigenous culture, and also, I guess, to erode those sort of barriers of, you know, potential racism or so on that could go on. They become, the kids at the school with the Indigenous kids who are there on scholarships become real champions of it, of them.
Absolutely, and this is exactly what I spoke about when I did speak up at Karma on we had a big opening of the new cultural centre up there. And that is that, you know, a lot of people just think, isn't it great that schools are giving these kids this opportunity? But what most of the schools will tell you, and those who have been in the schools will see for themselves, is that the schools get far more out of having these kids in the school than they possibly give those kids, because, you know, they've got predominantly non-Indigenous school populations in all of those boarding schools that we work with, and here's the opportunity for Indigenous culture to be demonstrated, displayed, embraced and observed, and it just gives all the non-Indigenous kids a great opportunity to understand the beautiful, rich culture that we have in this country that we should be extremely proud of.
And make great friends.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
It's very hard to be racist when your friends are...
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also to see the racism that they experience for themselves and feel outraged and upset for them.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think there's no better way to break down those sorts of barriers than to grow and to live with one another. Mm. And you know, we see this all the time, and I think that's a great benefit of it as well.
Look, it's such a great program, Andrew, and hats off to you. Now, just a little bit about yourself. How did you decide to do this? How did you get into this sort of business?
It was pretty unplanned, actually. I'd sort of gone to boarding school myself as a youngster. My father died when I was very young, and Mum was a young university student and had to go out and make a living to try and support my sister and I. And, you know, I'd sort of had a reasonably rocky ride and sort of a lot of independence, and I grew up in the inner city of Glebe in Sydney, and you know, by the time I was about 13 or 14, I was very disengaged from school, and my mother and grandmother sort of got me into St. Joseph's with some support from an external party, and that really turned my life around. And 20 years later, I was living in Hong Kong, so then after I left school, I became a lawyer and an investment banker for about 20 years, and I was living in Hong Kong for 10 years, and all of my rugby team were killed in the Bali bombings.
Oh.
And myself and a couple of friends in Hong Kong set up a foundation to raise some money for the wives and their children and Indonesian kids who'd lost their parents as well. And then shortly after that experience, I was down in Australia where I heard some of these schools had started enrolling Indigenous kids, and having grown up with a lot of Indigenous kids around Glebe when I was a youngster, I really just thought, this is the answer. I mean, it's not the single answer, but it's one thing that, you know, one thing that could be really effective and powerful. I just thought, you know, if we all feel that, you know, Indigenous kids in this country are, you know, completely marginalised from the education system, and we know that education, quality education, is the key to breaking that cycle and has been throughout human history, then why is it that our most marginalised kids are going to our worst schools instead of our best schools? So when I heard about this, and I'd just come off the back of the Bali experience where I could see how I could use all of my skills and experience in business and finance and law and so on to set up a fund and raise money, I just offered help a school in Sydney at Joey's to set up a fund there, and one thing led to another. So I actually thought I was kind of, you know, not really going into a new career in this space, but it's just been so, the momentum's been so incredible over the last 10 years, just grown ridiculously, and we've now raised nearly $100 million in that 10 years to support Indigenous kids at boarding schools around Australia.
That is sensational, Andrew. And so,
just keeping up with demand is the real issue. You know.
Really? What, keeping up with the demand from the schools?
Yeah, no, if we had another $100 million, we'd double the number of kids. You know, I mean, yeah. There's so many kids who want these opportunities. There's so many families who want them. You know, one school, Scots in Sydney last year, had something like 40 applications for two spots, and all of those 40 kids were really great kids who were really enthusiastic and would have done brilliantly.
Mm.
It's just getting, you know, it's heartbreaking to have to say no to all these mothers and parents who are desperately trying to get a good education for their children. So we just can't keep up with demand.
Mm. Oh, look, fantastic, Andrew. What, out of tragedy has come something really wonderful. So well done to you.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
That was Andrew Penfold, the Indigenous Education Activist.